And now, have you had your prank today? This, of course, is April Fool's Day, when everybody gets a license to be a prankster, or at least try to be. Now, you may have already sabotaged the sugar bowl at home, but these days the major venue for the April Fool's prank may well be the office. So call and tell us about office pranks that worked, or maybe didn't. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blog of the nation. Eric Wilhelm wrote an article for Popular Mechanics about the top five workplace pranks you can pull, and he joins us now from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco, and it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you for having me.
And I have to guess I begin by a slight correction. Those are the top five pranks you can build. This is Popular Mechanics, after all.
Yeah, so it's actually, it's an article I wrote for Popular Mechanics that's pulling from projects on the website I run, which is Instructables.com. And it's a project sharing website where people share home renovation recipes and April Fool's Day pranks.
And I have to then ask if you've been victimized today.
Not yet, but with everyone at the office listening to this, I'm sure to go back to work quite carefully.
And your shoes will be tied together or some such thing. But nevertheless, your article has much more ambitious projects.
They're pretty intense. I mean, the best prank is something that you build yourself.
Really? Build yourself?
So some of the ones on there are, we'll start with an easy one, which is a refrigerator handle switch.
Uh-huh.
So you'll know that you can switch the way that a door opens on your refrigerator to put it in various corners so it can open to the left or the right. And what you can do is you can switch the hinges over but not switch the handle. And so people will come up and pull and pull and pull on the handle, but it won't actually open. And you can kind of make it the coup de grace of the prank by putting that classic Far Side cartoon where the kid is pushing on the pull-open door at the school for the gifted.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself a sandwich and sit down right in the kitchen and watch the fun.
And if memory serves, all this requires is a screwdriver.
That's right.
And I guess my favorite of the ones that you offered on your website was, making the computer keyboard green.
So if you get some seeds and you put them in a little bit of a wet environment, they'll sprout. So what you can do is you can take a big plastic bag and you can put it around a coworker's keyboard, put some wet paper towel or toilet paper in there and some seeds and germinate the seeds. So this is perfect for someone who's maybe taking spring break over this week, and they'll come back and, you know, they'll have a nice little greenery on their keyboard, and you can insist, "Well, I thought you were trying to go green. I thought I was helping out."
A Chia keyboard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which of these is the most popular?
Right now, the how to fill an office with packing peanuts is really, really getting some traffic. So
uh-huh.
what you do here, and this one I think really appeals because it's the kind of thing where the pictures alone tell the story, and it's something that looks like it came straight out of a movie, you know, where you fill someone's office with packing peanuts or popcorn. And so there's this great image of someone's office, and they have glass windows into it, and there's just packing peanuts all the way above the door. And the way that you actually pull the prank off is you take pieces of paper and actually tape them around the back side of the window, and then you only fill this kind of envelope in front of the window with packing peanuts.
Ah, so actually the office isn't filled with packing peanuts.
It's not exactly filled, but from the outside it really looks like it is.
Even so, I bet somebody's picking up pieces of styrofoam for months afterwards.
Well, they might be, or you could leave it that way, you know, kind of. So when new people come in, they're like, "How do you work in a styrofoam-filled office?"
Our guest is Eric Wilhelm, a contributing writer to Popular Mechanics. We're talking about April Fool's pranks at the office. If you've had one pulled on you that worked or maybe didn't, give us a call, 800-989-8255. We'll also accept calls from those of you who have perpetrated such pranks on April Fool's Day, too. Again, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Dave is calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Yeah, well, I run a school kitchen out here, and a couple years ago, I put pig's feet and corn husk on the menu for that day and got a pretty good reaction out of the students there.
How many people ordered it?
Nobody.
And how yeah. old are these students?
Oh, it's a middle school.
A middle school? That's just about the perfect joke for middle school.
Yeah, I figured the food's bad enough as it is anyway, so I just left it alone this year.
So you just left it alone this year. Thanks very much, Dave.
All right, take care. Love the show.
Thanks very much for that. Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Patrick, and Patrick's with us from North Carolina.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, Patrick.
Good. So I did a couple pranks today. The first one was at my office, and I took sticky notes and put them on the bottom of all the laser mouses on the computers.
So they would not mouse.
Exactly. And it was kind of fun to watch the whole office shake their mouses and tap them on the table.
Did anybody then throw them in your direction?
Yeah, well, almost. I had a couple of rulers thrown at me. And then the second prank I did was I put my roommate's house up for rent on, or his room up for rent on Craigslist.
So
he's been getting phone calls all day long.
And I bet you put a very reasonable price on it, too.
Oh, yeah, very reasonable.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
All right. The sticky notes on the bottom of the mouse, that's good.
That is a good one. And that's actually, I've seen that's on Instructables as well.
Really? And it just doesn't seem like it takes a great deal of mechanical, skill.
No, there's another good mouse one where you actually take one of those keychains that plays a little melody or a song, and you put it inside someone's mouse. So when they press the right button, it actually starts singing a little song at them.
That's really cool. And that takes actually some skill because you have to know what you're doing. There was also the bust up the conference room TV.
So there's you can build a little device which will actually send out all of the manufacturer's codes for turn off TV. So you can have this little handheld device that just looks like a remote control. And when you press the button, it sends out every turn off code. So you can turn off any TV. And you can do it surreptitiously. So when people maybe are watching something or about to do something with the television, you can quick turn it off. And modern TVs are so complicated that the buttons are so difficult to find. It'll be a while before they'll get it back on.
Mm. Let me just point out, you said you could build it. Well, maybe you can build it. I can't build it.
Well, it's a pretty introductory soldering and electronics project, and there's pretty good instructions.
Uh-huh. All right. Involves solder. I think at that point, I'm bowing out. Lock your buddy's shopping cart at lunch. What's that about?
Well, this is quite a bit of a more complicated project. And you know that some of the new shopping carts have a wheel locking mechanism. So when you take the cart out of the perimeter of the store, the wheel locks. And the way that works is that there's a buried wire at the perimeter of the store that emits a changing magnetic field. And that field interacts with the circuitry on the wheel locker, and it locks it when you travel over that line. So what you can do is you can actually build a portable version of that line. So you could go out to lunch and maybe getting something from the grocery store with your buddy and lock up their shopping cart so that it just quits working. And the cool thing is some of the carts will actually lock and unlock. So you can play red light, green light with your shopping cart.
All in aisle 6.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get Eric on the line. Eric with us in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Neil.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this was a few years ago on April Fool's Day. I worked in a cubicle where there was a guy who didn't really do much of his work. He just pretty much surfed the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So a long story short, we were supposed to take Visual Basic classes for our work-related stuff. And the only thing I ever did with that Visual Basic training was I wrote a fake script that one day would just pop up randomly. And he thought he was getting in trouble because the script was written so that all of a sudden it said all of the information, including his internet surfing, has been reported to human resources.
Ah!
That's pretty good.
I was hiding around the corner, and I looked at his face, and he was red as a lobster. It was well worth it.
Yeah, getting the reaction, that seems to be the key moment in any practical joke, Eric.
It is, but I had to quickly diffuse his fire so that he didn't panic beyond that.
Yeah, there's a heart attack and then there's amusement. You know, there's a big difference between those two things.
Yeah, the lesson is if you can't remember it's April Fool's Day, be careful. You know, what you do at work, there's a balance between play and work. Get your work done.
If people want to do some computer-based pranks, we've got some good Firefox confusion. So Firefox is an internet browser, and you can write extensions for it. So what somebody did around the office at Instructables is they made a total confusion pack that on April Fool's Day, it will do things like take you two steps back when you click a new link. And it will only do this at random intervals that increase in frequency throughout the day. So you can install this on your Mark's computer, and as they go through the day kind of surfing the net, occasionally they'll click a link and it will take them two steps back and they'll be like, why did this happen?
Eric, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Neil. Have a good day.
You too. Here's an email we have from Bill. I attempted an April Fool's joke today. I claimed that I'd found a significant flaw in the data collected for a very large, very expensive product we were preparing to ship. I included the date April 1st in italics in the message and closed with the phrases, "You have to believe what the data shows you more so than you have to believe what you read this day." However, one of my coworkers who received the email has replied back to me that she began crying upon receipt of the message. She may be returning my favor, but her last message back to me was, "Shut it. I'll not try this again next year." And you do have to worry about, there are people who do take these things very seriously, even if only for 30 seconds.
Well, you got to be careful with what you do and make sure that it's reversible and all in good fun.
We're talking with Eric Wilhelm, a contributing editor to Popular Mechanics, where he wrote an article on the top 5 April Fool's Day pranks you can build in your office. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now let's get Siri on the line. Siri's calling us from Fairbanks in Alaska.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I worked at Baskin-Robbins a long time ago, and we put fake ice cream flavors on all the ice cream for April Fools.
Such as?
We had we called the lemon one corn. We had pralines and cream we turned into fried chicken. We had spaghetti and smoked salmon.
And how did sales do on April 1st, do you think?
You know, nobody ordered any, but a lot of people wanted those little taste spoons. A lot of people tried them.
I bet they did. Thanks very much, Siri. You're not in the ice cream business anymore?
No, not anymore. I teach Spanish.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's no practical jokes in Spanish.
I have to come up with a really good one today.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Sabin. Sabin is calling from San Jose, California. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
My name is Sabine.
Sabine, go ahead.
San Jose.
Go ahead.
Hi. I had worked as a paralegal. It was my first day on the job, April 1st, in Germany. And I was asked to pick up a piece of evidence in a murder case from the courthouse. And I just did. I was scared to death, but I went, picked it up from the courthouse, and ended up with a 9-foot-long piece of wood that was red in the front, and they told me this is blood from the victim. So when I came back to the office, of course I was the fool. This was just, of course, made up.
You weren't fooled at all?
No, I was fooled. Oh, I felt like a total fool.
Oh, you felt like a total fool. Yes, indeed.
I was a total fool for not questioning this.
For not questioning, and I guess, Eric Wilhelm, that's the moment we all have to fess up to. It's that moment of, oh, I have been such a complete idiot.
Yes, that's correct.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
Sabine, I bet you're not a complete idiot.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the phone call. Let's go now to Jeff. Jeff's calling us from Utah.
Hey, I've got a couple for you. First, it's a little bit mean that I didn't do, but I witnessed one of my roommates do to another, and that is putting Kool-Aid packet, sprinkling it throughout the towel, and just waiting for them to get out of the shower and turn themselves blue or red or whatever.
I see. Well, that's
that Kool-Aid happened to be
relatively harmless, as another shower will generally dispose of the problem.
You'd be surprised. I think it took a couple days for it to wear off.
Even then, so, anyway, go ahead.
And then the second one was one of my friends that works in IT in a company I used to work for noticed that one of the workers was spending a lot of time on a dating site. And instead of taking it to HR, he decided to go another route. And what he did was he copied the front page of the dating site that had all the pictures of the girls and the guys and did a little bit of photoshopping so that everybody just looked like complete dogs.
And, yeah, that's a pretty good one. Photoshopping.
When he went to the site, he was automatically redirected to this site, and he never visited there again.
He was never welcome there again. I can't imagine why. But thanks very much for the call, Jeff. Eric, the computer provides such a vast range of what a great palette for this sort of thing.
It's great. I mean, it's our modern-day tool, so everybody's using them, so you got to do some tricks with them.
Let's talk with Lindsay. Lindsay with us from Alabama.
Yes, I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and my boss is a huge Auburn fan. And if you don't know, Alabama and Auburn are huge rivals. And so we decorated his office in all of the Alabama gear we could find, including probably a 5x4 bulletin board. that we put that has Roll Tide on it. And when he walked into the office this morning over the intercom, we played the fight song.
The Alabama fight
Alabama,
song.
All over the office. He turned red, and he was wearing a red tie to go with it. And Alabama's colors are red and white.
So there you go. Everything worked out all right.
It did.
How long did it take him to get that stuff down?
Well, we found the big bulletin board in the stock room about 5 minutes later.
All right. Thanks very much, Lindsay. Appreciate the phone call. Let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. And this is Jared. Jared with us from Nashville in Tennessee.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks
all right.
for my call.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
You know, just a few months ago, my son had heard of the shaving cream in the hand gag where you put it in the hand while they're asleep, and I slapped myself in the face, and he thought it was so funny. He wanted somebody to play it on him. So this morning, me and my wife woke up a little bit early, and at 6 o'clock, we put it in his hand. When he went to slap his face, he immediately went ballistic and yelled and screamed for the next hour and a half till I dropped him off at school. It totally ruined his day, and I don't know if I'm going to do too many more gags to him.
Jared, I guess in some respects, the old jokes are not necessarily the best jokes. If you want some new style April Fool's jokes, well, the day is young yet on the West Coast for sure. You can go to Popular Mechanics and check out the article written by Eric Wilhelm, who was our guest today, a contributing writer to Popular Mechanics. Top 5 April Fool's Day pranks you can build in your office. He joined us from the studios of our member station KQED in San Francisco. You can find a link to his article at our website at npr.org/talk. Eric, thanks very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.